Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, karup, guten tag, half a day, ciao, weevi vakat bang, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical, vivisection prison, killitary, industrial, core, poor nation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster-bankrupt, corruptocracy-mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of rotting cadaver, as the cuisine of choice for the sophisticated palate. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Coming up on today's program, PETA co-founder Alex Pacheco. It was really great seeing all the wonderful people, all of the modern-day heroes gathered at the Animal Rights Conference. It's been an amazing few weeks, really. I'm so proud to have taken part in two of the largest animal rights demonstrations ever, the largest protest against the circus ever, over 500 people against Ringling Brothers' meanest show on earth at the Staples Center in Los Angeles. And then the largest protest against this immoral spectacle ever to take place in Orange County this past Wednesday at the Honda Center, where 111 living saints gathered to stand up against Ringling Brothers' cruelty to animals. And what a difference a year makes, you know, at the Honda Center. Last year, although I asserted my constitutional right to use the megaphone, I was arrested, and then when I called out to my pal Brian Monell to video record my arrest, he was brutalized by police, and this plainclothes thug named Pena tackled him from behind, and for no reason, and then was digging the bullhook into Brian's neck, the bullhook Brian brought to show people how brutal the training of elephants is. So Pena, tackles Brian, digs the bullhook into his neck, and then charges him with assault with a deadly weapon on a police officer. Fortunately, the case against Brian has been dropped, but, we were a little concerned about this out-of-control maniac perhaps confronting demonstrators again this past week. But Anaheim PD assured us that he would be kept inside, of course worrying us that he would, try to tackle an elephant from behind for no reason and dig the bullhook into the elephant. But of course that's what trainers do every day. So Pena was assigned indoor pooper scooper detail. And thanks to the work of attorneys Dave Simon and Brian Peace, and the city of Anaheim was forced to agree with me that use of the megaphone is constitutionally protected free speech. So there I was at the Honda Center without incident, informing people that they were attending a show where the animals are trained with deadly weapons. It's the Animals Beaten by Deadly Weapons show. Yeah, that can't be really too much fun. How can that be a happy occasion? Isn't there enough misery in the world already without buying a ticket to Ringling Brothers? You're really casting a vote with your dollar there. Here, take my money, buy another bullhook, a big wooden stick with a metal hook on the end of it. Beat another elephant so I can laugh when she balances on a ball, performing out of fear, as all the animals do. What would it take for you to jump through a hoop of fire? What kind of fear, huh? So it was two record-breaking demonstrations against Ringling Brothers, this crime scene against animals. Actually, it would be a crime scene in many cities around the country. And now many countries around the world, this show is being banned. The British Parliament just voted to ban the circus with animals. Peru just banned the circus. Bolivia banned the circus. Morality is evolving. Perhaps it will reach us here at some point, huh? When will we ban entertainment where the performers are tortured prisoners and slaves? So, yeah, my megaphone hasn't had such a workout in quite a while. In fact, it's more used to long vacations napping on the shelf of the evidence room at various police departments. But it's great to join so many activists in the March Against Vivisection at UCLA as part of the Animal Rights Conference. So I thought for this special occasion I should dream up some new slogans or chants for the megaphone. After all, it's been quite a while since I came up with the F-U-C-L-A. F-U-C-L-A. So, you know, now it seemed to be time for some new ones. So I came up with, I hope activists will use it in years to come. I could be in the Bay Area or Portland at the time when the next UCLA protest is. But, you know, they could go, "You can stop it. See the pain. Hell for animals. A damn shame." How's that, huh? "You can stop it. See the pain. Hell for animals. A damn shame." And, hey, what do you say, Fraudulent Science at UCLA? And, hey, UCLA, rich vivisectors and the animals pay. Yeah, all the street activism went over really well. And my speech at the Animal Rights Conference? Yeah, my speech over there, officially condemned. By whom? The Cattlemen's Association? The pharmaceutical industry? No. My speech at the Animal Rights Conference was condemned by the Animal Rights Conference. Hey, if you can't give an animal rights talk at an animal rights conference, huh? Well, and, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not upset at all with Alex Hirschaft or Farm or the conference. I will forever regard him as a hero for all that he has done and continues to do. I think that it's really merely a reflection of the schizophrenia being suffered in the animal rights movement right now. I was condemned for supposedly criticizing an organization which, you know, I assume Alex considers to be an animal rights group, which I consider to be more a tool of animal exploitation industry, the furthest thing from an animal rights group. In fact, its CEO says it's not an animal rights group. So why condemn me for criticizing it? Huh? I think that the sense that I was getting from the Animal Rights Conference is that there is this division which I wanted to address so that we could really define our activism and use that to gain greater media access to promote the world's most important cause, veganism. Activists now need to decide, what is their cause? Vegan animal liberation activism or the furniture for chickens in 18 years movement, huh? $120 million a year in donations, and the best HSUS can come up with is furniture for chickens in 18 years. You know, a perch that will be so covered with poop in no time that it'll be virtually unusable unless HSUS is going to hire perch cleaners for 300 million birds. And the chickens also get a couple of strips of plastic to form a little sandbox or box of wood shavings. And, you know, the chickens will scratch at the sand, which will create more of a breathing hazard along with the ammonia in their dark, you know, sheds. HSUS has been very successful turning animal rights activists into egg salesmen. And now, do animal rights activists embrace the furniture for chickens in 18 years movement? 18 years. Huh? Where will we be in 18 years? Will we be able to have the Animal Rights Conference at the Westin LAX Hotel in 18 years? Or will rising ocean waters from global warming be up to its roof? How many more climate change-caused droughts, floods, tornadoes, and fires will rage over the next 18 years? Mother Earth needs a vegan world now. The animals need a vegan world now. The starving people of Africa need a vegan world now. Meat and dairy cause 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. The world doesn't need furniture for chickens in 18 years. The world doesn't need vegans throwing up their hands in frustration. You know, "Oh, I really wish it would be a vegan world, but, oh, it's too hard. It'll never happen. So I'll work for furniture for chickens in 18 years. I'll also work for Initiative 1130. I'll work for Prop 2, even though they tell me not to mention anything about going vegan when collecting signatures." So who's going to make it a vegan world, huh? If not vegans, huh? You know, I know vegans are often shy, and they don't want to offend. They don't want to sound like they're preaching, you know, all of that. And, you know, then along comes this representative of the meat industry, HSUS, and it tells you, be practical, work for furniture for chickens. You know, HSUS, by the way, is on record as saying it does not promote veganism. It supports humane slaughter. So it supports slaughter. It glorifies animal serial killers Wolfgang Puck and Michael Vick. It partners with IAM's Meat Dog Food, a subsidiary of Procter & Gamble, the world's worst vivisector. And it suggests buying dogs from breeders. It does not oppose all hunting circuses and zoos, and it profits from the sale of a dog food that's not vegan, and it supported the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act. Its CEO said it is not an animal rights organization. So why am I criticized by the Animal Rights Conference for criticizing HSUS, which to me is the same as criticizing McDonald's or Cargill or Monsanto? And it's not the sort of corporation with which vegan animal liberation activists should align or donate time or money. We are running out of time and must devote our energy to creating a vegan world. Creating a vegan world is the responsibility of vegans. You know, we can make it happen. We can't depend on HSUS to do it. We can't depend on vegetarians who consume milk and dairy. The vegans have to create a vegan world, and the arguments for going vegan are compelling and irrefutable, so it is our job to reach as many people as possible as quickly as possible. So what can you do to help create a vegan world? Well, you can help Go Vegan with Bob Linden expand. You know, people who listen to the show go vegan all the time. We're on the air in Portland and San Francisco. We were on 26 radio stations with Air America. There are radio stations in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, and Seattle who want to run this program. If we had enough money to pay for the airtime, that means advertising and donations. You can help with that. Or join with me. We'll create a door-to-door vegan campaign. We'll have a sheet, and you can go around, knock on doors, and tell people that their children don't have to have diabetes. You can help me with the effort again to create Soul Food for Thought, that entertaining show that we put on the stage in San Francisco that was vegan outreach to people of color, the most entertaining program ever, which I did with Dr. Antenna Roba of the International Fund for Africa. There's a campaign to abolish meat that's developing out of France. Get involved with that. If you don't want to help my radio show, you don't want to go door to door, there are many choices. If you ever feel like, you know, working on the campaign for furniture for chickens in the future, take a megaphone out to McDonald's. You know, that often attracts the media attention. Just grab a megaphone and, you know, demand Ronald McDonald retire. Just don't work for furniture for chickens. Anyway, you know, I'll try to get that AR talk around on my Facebook pages. Maybe I can play it on the show in the next week or so. Anyway, I hope you'll really join me in devoting yourself to making this a vegan world. And you can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. And support this show with a tax-deductible donation. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. The co-founder of PETA, now involved with 600 million stray dogs, need you. It is Alex Pacheco coming up next on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
I'm a vegan because meat hurts animals.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked away across USA.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., dinner 5 to 9, Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798, vegetarianhouse.us. The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number 2, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai at crisistopeace.org.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
This is the historic Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the planet's first vegan animal liberation radio program in mainstream media, now broadcasting over 10 years, as heard on Air America, the first major network vegan radio program. How do we do it? Well, we have to purchase airtime every week, and we can only do it with your support. You can make a tax-deductible donation, make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Just email me, bob@goveganradio.com. Historic? Well, our next guest has made history in the animal rights movement as a co-founder and former chairperson of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Alex Pacheco has also served as a member of the advisory board of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society, very active with that group, and now has founded 600 Million Stray Dogs Need You. So it is an honor to introduce you to Alex Pacheco. Welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Alex, how are you today?
I'm fine, and thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here, and it was great seeing you at the Animal Rights Conference, having lunch with you at the recent Loving Hut grand opening at Brea Mall. And so there aren't too many people on the planet who have a resume where you look and you see, wow, co-founder of PETA, this person must really have a heart for animals and concern and compassion. Alex, how did that develop for you, your compassion for animals?
I'm pretty sure it started when I was a kid being raised in southern Mexico, very close to Guatemala, because even though my father was a doctor, my mom was a nurse, in that part of the world, we would still do what most folks did down there. We would raise animals in the backyard and slaughter them in the backyard on a regular basis for dinner. And I'll never forget these poor animals being hung upside down while they're fully conscious and having their throats slit or having the back of their heads cut open. Very, very brutal, very violent, very painful, very slow deaths. And I just can never forget seeing that.
It sounds almost traumatic for a child. And then were any of the animals like family members to you? Did you?
Sometimes they were, yes. Yep. And beyond that, there was just things in everyday life. I remember my dad, he would take the family, take us all to bullfights, and we'd see these animals being tortured in public. So I think that's when I really started to develop a real sympathy for the suffering of animals. But I didn't go straight into doing animal protection work at all. When we moved to the States, I remember at the time, the big thing back then was the threat of communism threatening democracy and free speech, and I was very patriotic and still am very patriotic, but at the time that was the big threat. And so I wanted to, instead of doing animal stuff, though, I wanted to help protect democracy and protect the U.S., and so I wanted to become an FBI agent. And I remember applying twice to the FBI to become an agent, and was accepted both times. And I remember packing my bags as I was getting ready to move to Washington, D.C., to start work at the J. Edgar Hoover building. That's when this thing called Bangladesh hit the U.S., and it was just all over the news back then that all these thousands of humans were starving to death in Bangladesh because of a famine that was caused by, I can't remember what, but all these children were starving to death, and I was so moved by all their suffering that I decided, these kids need help more than the FBI needs help, so I'm going to pass on the FBI and I'm going to try to help these starving kids. But then I remember the problem was that I couldn't figure out a way to do it because, if I recall correctly, I still wasn't even old enough to drive a car. But I was at a Catholic high school, going to school to a Catholic high school, and a good friend of mine was a Catholic priest. And in talking about this, he said that, hey, if you become a priest, you can do this. We'll send you over there, and you can do this as a job. And I said, oh, that'd be fantastic. But I had to become a priest first, so I remember being put onto a crash course, and that towards becoming a priest, and that was involved living in a house, big house, with three priests and seven brothers for a year in this crash course. It was called the Scholastic Program for Ecclesiastical Students. So that's what I was doing. I did that for a year.
So it sounds like Father Alex, FBI agent, animal sympathizer. What a movie that would make. What a plot.
that's sort of what it sounds like, yes. But I still wasn't doing animal protection work until at the end of this year of that program, this ecclesiastical program. That's when I, just by chance, happened to go and be given a behind-the-scenes tour of a huge slaughterhouse. And it was a flashback to what I had seen as a kid growing up, only this time it was on a massive scale. This time there were hundreds and thousands of pigs being slaughtered and chickens being slaughtered and cows being slaughtered every eight-hour shift.
How did that tour happen for you?
I was just visiting a friend who, in Toronto, and he had a friend that worked at the slaughterhouse. So we were teenage guys and we didn't have anything to do. So we just went out of curiosity, morbid curiosity is something. We thought it'd be something neat. So we didn't go because we had any concern for animals. We just went because we were bored. And so the thing I'll never forget the most out of that slaughterhouse trip was all the pigs that were hanging upside down, and they're all screaming their heads off, and they're hanging by their ankles upside down, and so the workers have gone down the line and cut all their throats, and they're all bleeding to death, and they're all thrashing and screaming, and blood's everywhere. And then the workers started to slit open their stomachs, and the pig closest to me, when they slit open her stomach, turns out she was a she, all these baby pigs came pouring out onto the conveyor belt, and they were all very much alive. And there was, they were just blood everywhere, screaming, guts. It was just unbelievable. It was literally, it was like a hell, like a living hell on earth for these animals.
There's your ham sandwich, by the way. I just want everybody to realize that there's your ham sandwich right there, the ingredients that go into it. Yeah.
Yes. So I was pretty taken aback by how brutal this was, how violent it was, and I decided then that I needed to, the more I thought about it, I thought, God, these animals really, they really need help.
They're the ones that need the help.
Kids in Bangladesh need help too, but these animals are getting it even worse. So one thing led to the other. I'm sorry, were you going to mention something?
No, it was interesting that, there you were ready to head to Bangladesh because the people were so in need, and then you see the animals and you go, wow, the needs are even so much more massive. They're getting their throats slit,
Yes.
Yeah, what a scene. So.
Yeah, it was just so much more violent and just flat out brutal and violent and direct.
Mm-hmm.
And on purpose, in a sense. The starving kids in Bangladesh, that wasn't on purpose. Nobody was pushing that and forcing it on us. It was just a horrible, accident in nature kind of a problem.
Sure.
Where this was on purpose, premeditated, day in and day out, and it just mechanized. It was just very, very wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the suffering. I know it's not so much killing to me. Killing is bad enough, but if you're going to make someone suffer before you kill them, that's just too much. Wait, just too much.
Yeah, and it's a full life of suffering from birth to death, really. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's when I started to get into animal protection work, and one of the first things I ended up doing was signing up with the Sea Shepherd, and that's the organization, the nonprofit organization, Sea Shepherd, that goes around with their ships across the oceans and interferes with ships that kill whales in an effort to protect and save whales from being slaughtered.
I think people may have seen Whale Wars and know Captain Paul Watson.
Yes. This was about 30 years ago now, and this was their very first whale campaign. So we went across the Atlantic Ocean, and I remember of all the awards I've received over the last 30 years, the one that I'm proudest of is the award I got from the Sea Shepherd before. I was actually named, what was it, Crew Member of the Year for their first whale campaign. So I've since lost that award, but I wish I had it.
Yeah, I lost my Woodstock ticket too, and I somewhere in some move or something. So what happened though when you were out on the vessels? So what was that experience, that first experience going out?
Well, we were trying to find a ship called the Sierra, and at the time it was the most infamous whale-killing ship. It was called a pirate-whaling ship. And by pirate, that means that, normally a ship is registered with a country just like you register your car with the state, whatever state you live in. But if you're a pirate-whaling ship, you register your ship with what they call a flag. They just register it with any little country where they don't have to reveal their identity, where the owners of the ship can remain secret.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what was going on. Some private individuals owned this ship, and their identity was kept secret. And then they went out and they ignored all the laws protecting whales. And this pirate whaling ship would go out and just slaughter every single whale, the mothers, the babies, everybody. Slaughter entire families, which technically is illegal. So that's why they call these pirate whaling ships, because they don't follow any rules whatsoever. So they're the greatest offenders. And this ship was the greatest offender of all the offenders. It was called the Sierra. So our mission was to find this ship and then ram the ship in international waters and stop them from whaling. So one thing led to another, and their things didn't go as planned. And there was a ramming, but it didn't happen in the high seas. It happened a couple feet off the coast of Portugal, and the Portuguese Navy got involved, and the Portuguese Navy seized our ship, and both ships were then seized and put behind a drawbridge. This is an interesting part. The Sea Shepherd rammed the Sierra. The Sierra owners, they didn't want to identify themselves, so they didn't want to press charges. but the Portuguese Navy went ahead and put both ships behind bars, behind a drawbridge, so that neither ship could leave Portugal. And then, over time, the Portuguese government decided they were going to sell the Sea Shepherd ship and give the money to the whalers, to the whale killers.
Mm.
So Before that could happen, though, somebody snuck on board both ships when both ships were behind a drawbridge and sunk both the ships to the bottom of the harbor so that the Sea Shepherd ship could never be sold, so the money could never be given to the whalers. So that was an interesting end to that campaign.
Yeah.
And again, that was about 30 years ago. So I've been involved in animal protection work ever since.
Well, that's quite amazing. We're coming up on a break, and I'm sure people would like to hear how PETA was founded, and also your involvement now with 600 million stray dogs need you. And
that's good news,
is,
by the way. We have really good news on that.
Okay, and that, and yes, that's the website also for the 600 million stray dogs need you is what?
The short version, 600million.org. 600million.org.
Okay, and that's the 600
million. Yes, 600million.org.
600 million.
And the reason 600 million, because that's how many stray dogs there are around the world on any given day. 600 million.
Okay. We will continue our discussion with Alex Pacheco. If you missed any of it, the program is archived at goveganradio.com, so you can always hear what we've been discussing. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's right there, goveganradio.com.
We don't eat chickens. We pet chickens.
Here's the burger that makes you feel as good as sunshine. It's Sunshine Burger, organic, vegan, and gluten-free, made from simple, wholesome ingredients, raw, ground, organic sunflower seeds, organic grains, organic vegetables, and sea salt. Sunshine Burger. Try the original Garden Herb, Barbecue, and Southwest Veggie Burgers, Falafel Patty, and Hemp Fest Breakfast Patty in the frozen section of your natural market. Already oven-baked and browned, just reheat and serve organic, vegan, gluten-free Sunshine Burger. Visit sunshineburger.com. VeganEssentials.com, your award-winning online vegan superstore with over 1,200 different all-vegan products in stock. From food to footwear, personal care to household items, it's all there at veganessentials.com. Enter GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box for your 10% discount on all orders over $50. Limited time only. VeganEssentials.com. Call 866-88-VEGAN. Vegan owned and operated. VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR in the coupon box for 10% off now. What you want is at VeganEssentials.com. You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever. Now with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
Okay, we continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Oh, our pledge drive. Please send money. We need your help. We have to purchase the airtime. Make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Send it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147, or donate online at goveganradio.com. You can be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. Today we're talking to Alex Pacheco, who is co-founder and former chairman of PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. We also discussed his involvement in the early days, the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Now he's involved with 600 Million Stray Dogs Need You, which we will discuss in just a few moments. But first, Alex, I'm sure people are curious. Well, how was PETA founded? How were you involved? What happened?
I can't remember. It was so long ago. But let's see.
So it's an organization, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Yes,
you were there when it started. Something must have happened to start it, right?
I remember. I was on the Sea Shepherd. We went overseas to Portugal, and everyone had to get off the ship there. And so I went to England to work with the animal rights folks in England, because England has always been 10, 20 years ahead of the United States.
Yes.
You know, England outlawed slavery or prohibited slavery before the U.S. They gave women the right to vote long before the U.S. did, and same thing with animals. They're very far ahead of us. So after England, my visa expired. You could only stay 6 months, so when my visa expired, I came back to the States. And my two things that I like to do, that I feel are most productive for myself in helping animals, are, number one is lobbying to help animals in Congress, and the second thing is doing undercover investigations. So those are the two things that I try to spend most of my time on.
Oh, I thought you were an FBI priest for the animals, I guess.
Well, but to me it's all one and the same.
Yeah.
He's always rooting for the underdog, for the little guy.
Sure.
So I came to D.C. and I was studying political science at George Washington University, and I wanted to, I found that if I started an animal group, or I could use all the university facilities, like their Xerox machines and their offices and stuff. So my girlfriend at the time was Ingrid Newkirk, and so we said, all right, well, let's start an organization while we do our work. And she was running the D.C. Department of Animal Control at the time, and I was a college student. And so I started working undercover in a laboratory, a federally funded research laboratory, where they were mutilating monkeys in experiments in Silver Spring, Maryland, which is about 8 to 10 miles from the United States Capitol, very close to downtown D.C. So I was working in this laboratory as a research assistant in an undercover capacity and documenting the fact that these animals were suffering from such severe deprivation that they were self-mutilating. They were biting off all their fingers. They had broken arms, broken bones. There were bones sticking out of the palms of their hands. They weren't getting medical treatment, and they were being used in an experiment where the experimenter had crippled them. He'd cut nerves in their neck to give them a crippled arm or crippled leg or two crippled legs or two crippled arms. You know, every animal is crippled in a different way. And then they would force the animal by using electric shock. They would force the animal to try to use their crippled arms. And so this was simulating the symptoms of stroke. Anyway, it was, bottom line, it was very, very violent, very painful. And I worked there for 4 months and documented many things, and where we were able to close down the laboratory on the grounds of cruelty to animals. And it was the first time in the world that a laboratory had been closed down because of cruelty. So that was the first well-known undercover work that I'd ever done, and I just continued to do that off and on for about 20 years while lobbying for animals in Congress. But here's the big thing. We won a lot of victories. We helped a lot of animals, but the big problem was this. No matter how many times we won or no matter how many victories we could chalk up, the fact was that it was really just a drop in the bucket when we talk about animal suffering. For example, in that laboratory that I worked in, there were, 20 monkeys that were being cut up in that laboratory. So while it set a precedent and helped a lot of other animals, it was still just a drop in the bucket in terms of all the animal suffering going on all over the world. And that really haunted me, because I just felt that, before I die, I want to do as much good as I can and help alleviate as much suffering as I can. And I just felt that this way wasn't really helping as many animals as needed to be helped. It wasn't reducing as much suffering as needed to be reduced. So that's what led me to this new project. It's called 600 Million Stray Dogs Need You, and it's a very exciting project because it's one of the few times I've ever been able to work on something that's very positive. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to this. The number one cause of animal suffering in the world is the raising and slaughtering of animals for food. The number two cause of animal suffering on the planet is referred to as animal overpopulation. Because we decide there are too many dogs, too many cats, too many deer, too many kangaroos in Australia, we kill these animals in the millions. You know, every year, millions and millions of deer are shot and killed in the U.S. because there's too many of them. Every year, millions of dogs and cats are killed in the U.S. every year because there's too many. Every country does this, and it's been going on for many decades, and it's going to keep going on for many decades because there's no change in sight except for this. We figured out that if we can come up with a pill that sterilizes the animals, one pill. Imagine if you had one pill, you put it in a piece of food, you could throw it on the ground. Let's say if you're in India, in the slums of India, of Calcutta, where there's hundreds and thousands of stray, starving dogs running around. You could put that bait on the, something as simple as putting the bait on the ground, a stray dog comes by and eats it, and the stray dog can never have babies, never reproduce. By doing this, we're going to be able to dramatically reduce the overpopulation problem, actually solve the overpopulation problem, starting with dogs, and then going on to cats, and then going on to other species. But to solve this overpopulation problem without killing, without having to do any surgery, no killing, no surgery. And that's what we're about to accomplish, because we have found multiple formulas. There's not just one formula. There are many formulas that are capable of doing this, we believe.
And you say that's one, just having one pill once would work for the...
Yes. Here's an interesting fact. There are over 100 already known, birth control drugs, chemicals, or formulas already out there, already approved. Over 100 different ones. And they, there's two categories. One is that they're either in a pill form or they're an injection form. Now, to solve the stray animal problem, what's needed is a pill that lasts a long time. So, what we already have are injections that last a lifetime. I already have those. So if you could just take an injection and convert it into a pill, that's the solution there. Now, we also already have many, many different pills, but the problem with them is that they don't last long enough. They only last like a week. So the job there is to take any of those pills and tweak them so that they last a long time. So either one of those categories can give us the solution that we need. It's very exciting.
The name 600 million stray dogs need you. What? Why 600 million? What?
Yes, that's 600 million is the number of estimated stray dogs there are on any given day around the world. And here's where it gets even worse. So imagine this: as soon as a dog reaches 6 months of age, dogs can begin to give birth and reproduce and give birth to litters. And a litter of puppies can be anywhere from 3, 6, 10, 12 puppies in a litter, single litter. So imagine if you have 600 million stray dogs, half of those, 300 million, are female, and say half of those are at least 6 months old. So that's how many, let's say that's 150 million, are giving birth to litters of puppies every 6 months. So when you run those numbers, you see that there are probably well over a billion stray, starving puppies being born every year. And most of them just die and starve to death.
Of course, we would all, you know, want to wave a magic wand and have the problem solved, and to a degree, it sounds like you're in that direction. However, many of us, you know, haven't really aligned ourselves with pharmaceuticals, so we think, what could side effects be, and what about animal testing in this equation? I'm sure these are thoughts that would come to mind from people interested in this.
Yes, a couple of things. One, the answers to these questions are all good answers. Two, To get all the details, please visit the website, 600million.org. 600 million, that's 600 million, 600million.org, where you can see all the details. But to give you some, at least some brief answers to those questions, the animal testing, for starters, the ingredients, the active ingredients in almost all the formulas, in all the formulas we're dealing with, are well-known active ingredients. For example, one of the active ingredients is not iodine. Now I'm blanking. It's a vitamin supplement that I take every day.
You haven't given birth to any puppies recently.
And I,
right?
And I haven't given birth since. But sometimes it's
I'll have you go to the website 600million.org, yes. And then you'll know what it is.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that there is not any painful animal testing taking place. How we do it is just the opposite. We'll get stray dogs off the street, get them healthy so that they're at a baseline healthiness, and then adopt them out. And before we adopt them out, we give them a pill. And then they go to their home, and then a week later they come back to the veterinary clinic and they are spayed or neutered. And then the ovaries, for example, are examined. And that's how we determine whether they're sterile or fertile, by examining the ovaries. That's just one example. Each formula has a different process. But the bottom line is that the animals are not harmed in any way, and they live their whole lives in adopted homes. So it's, and here's a good, another one of the, again, this is, I mentioned how positive this whole project is, because every piece of it so far seems to be very positive. The side effects. So far, there are no known side effects to these formulas. And here's the big reason why. Think about it. When you're a human being and you're taking a birth control pill, you take one, pretty much one every day. So let's say that's 300 in a year. So in 20 years, that's something like 7,000 times you've taken that pill, 7,000 times. These pills are designed to be sterilization pills, meaning you only take them one time. And that's a big reason why there aren't negative side effects, because it's only taken one time and not 7,000 times. Mm.
Did you say there was some exciting news on this, a recent development or something?
Well, the crazy thing about this is that very, 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 very few people are looking into this. Very few people are pursuing this. And I'm convinced the reason is because there's more profit in the problem than there is in solving this problem. And for whatever the reasons are, very few folks are looking into this. And we are looking into it. We are pursuing it. But we have to raise the funds, the money, to pay the scientists to finish off the work that needs to be finished.
Okay. And, Alex, you know, we need to take another quick break. I can have you back for a few more minutes. So you're needing to raise funds. I would direct people to the website 600million.org, and we'll continue with Alex Pacheco. 600 Million Stray Dogs Need You. That's his project. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. If you've missed any of the discussion, it's archived at goveganradio.com.
Meat cuts life short. I don't want my life cut short or the animals.
Looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and nearly 3 decades experience in Bay Area real estate? Meet Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer.
Thanks, Bob. I've been a vegan for almost as long as I've been a real estate broker. I got my license in 1983, and I've been a vegan for about 20 years, which is the best decision I ever made for myself and my family. It has done wonders improving my health. And now I'm proud to say I have 3 healthy vegan grandchildren.
Judith, in your profession as a realtor, you actually practice what you teach.
There are some great opportunities for people, and my motto is selling dreams, not just houses. So I love to work with people, but these are challenging economic times for others who are vulnerable to disreputable people with scams and schemes. I just want everyone to know I'm here to help.
Call Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854. That's 888-258-6854.
We got something for you who don't want meat. A natural soy product and a tasty treat. It's tofurkey. That's what I said, tofurkey. There's Tofurky Roast Deli Slices, too. They have Tofurky Sausage, even jerky to chew. We admit the name is kind of quirky, but once you taste it, you'll love Tofurky, Tofurky. Come on, give it a try. It's Tofurky. See us at Tofurky.com. Tofurky, Tofurky. Wherever quality natural foods are sold.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Listener supported, please help us with a tax-deductible donation. Today we've been talking to Alex Pacheco. Alex's latest project is 600 Million Stray Dogs Need You, the website 600million.org. The solution, Alex is working on a pill that seems to be developed for sterilization. So, Alex, continue for us here.
Well, thank you, Bob. As I mentioned a bit ago, the number two cause of animal suffering worldwide for many, many species of animals. The number one cause of suffering for these species is overpopulation.
You mean everybody went vegan?
Well, these are not slaughterhouse animals we're talking about, unfortunately. Okay. These are animals that are mostly wild animals who are killed by the tens of millions every year just because we consider them to be too many of them. We believe there are a number of scientific formulas out there that can sterilize these different species and allow us to cause these overpopulations to crash without any more killing, or, you know, without killing them and without having to do surgery on them. Mm-hmm. Because those are the only two ways that overpopulated animals are controlled, by either killing them or by catching them and performing surgery on them to sterilize them. And neither of those methods are effective in reducing overpopulation problems.
Okay. All right. Well, Alex, it's been a pleasure having you on today. Did we get to everything? We have just maybe 15
seconds. Everything's on the website, and join us in reducing a lot of animal suffering.
Okay. Thank you so much for everything you've done for animals. Today, a historic figure to whom we owe much gratitude, Alex Pacheco. Thanks for being with us today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Thank you, Bob.
Pleasure having you here today.
All right. Well, an update on one of our recent guests, whose interview is archived at GoVeganRadio.com, Tim DeChristopher, the environmental activist who raised his hand at an auction to protect pristine lands in Utah from oil exploration. Well, no good deed goes unpunished. Sentenced to 2 years in prison this past week. Almost 30 people arrested in protest after that. What is it with judges, huh? Is lack of judgment a required personality trait for judges? And of course, I don't mean that to apply to any judge presiding over my false arrest, freedom of speech trial against the city of Anaheim. Only great judges in Anaheim, of course. I'm also looking forward to seeing you at the 5th anniversary celebration of Supreme Master TV, the vegan extravaganza of the summer. It's August 27th, 2 p.m. at the Pasadena Civic, with not one, but two great shows, a new musical called The Real Love, and a concert by Don McLean. Yes, American Pie and Vincent and Starry, Starry Night. Oh, what could be better than that? Oh, a vegan feast also. Great. Well, it's a 25% discount on tickets through this Sunday, which is July 31st. Visit suprememastertv.com. suprememastertv.com. And Don McLean concert. Amazing, right? Oh, always loved his music, huh? And yes, I know how lonely life can be. And yes, I know I'm lonely, so don't let me be lonely. Be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. Twitter is Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online to help us pay for airtime, it's goveganradio.com. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3. My guest is the co-founder of PETA, Alex Pacheco. He thought he would be a priest. He thought he would be an FBI agent. How did it come to be that he would start PETA? And before there was, well, wars, Alex was a crew member with the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society on the high seas, ramming pirate whaling vessels. He talks about that and his latest project, 600 Million Stray Dogs Need You. Is there a magic pill Tune in this Sunday at 3 p.m. Also, my talk at the Animal Rights Conference was officially condemned by the Animal Rights Conference. Why? And a recent guest was just sentenced to 2 years in prison. Who and why? It's the radio show with more guests with arrest records than any other radio show in history. The first vegan animal liberation program in history also. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden on Green 960, Sundays at 3 p.m., as long as we can pay for the airtime. And that's where you come in. Donations are tax-deductible, and you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. You can also donate online at goveganradio.com. And advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. Broadcast in the Bay Area, made possible by Vegetarian House, world-class vegan organic dining in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. That's vegetarianhouse.us. And by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. In Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue. And three in San Francisco, also San Jose and Elk Grove. Visit lovinghut.us for the Bay Area location near you. If you're looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and 30 years Bay Area real estate experience, contact Judith Brooks with REMAX. Email the letter J, B-R-O-O-K-S, at remax.net. I'll be your best friend on Facebook, where you find me as Bob Linden. On Twitter, it's Go Vegan Radio. And again, my email is bob@goveganradio.com. To support the program with a tax-deductible donation, which also supports Progressive Talk Radio, make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. We're listener-supported. And for archives and podcasts and to make a donation online, visit goveganradio.com.